When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The familiar story that makes me want to say to you, Merry Christmas. And I really do mean that in every essence of all that God intends that refrain to be. I know it's the last Sunday in Advent, but I also know that since we aren't able to gather together in person for our usual Christmas Eve carols and candlelight service, I wanted to take the opportunity, as it is afforded to me, to wish you now a Merry Christmas. I know it's hard to hear those words this year, perhaps even believe it, whether or not it's a merry time of the year, especially given all that we've endured in 2020. But I do mean it with all my heart, and know that we need to hear those words and receive them for what they are intended to be. I mean, after all, this past month, not to mention the previous 8 months, we've moved through various levels of restriction and prohibition and caution through this pandemic. And in this last month in particular, we moved from a place where we hoped some of those strict restrictions might be lifted, at least in part, so that we could indeed have a Merry Christmas with others, to hearing of the extension of pandemic restrictions through to the first week of January, meaning that we won't be able to gather for Christmas Eve carols and candlelight, meaning that we won't be able to gather with extended family around tables and feast and have all kinds of festive conversations like we would normally do. And so that means for some, this season might actually be kind of bleak. I remember on the day that I heard about the extension of the pandemic restrictions, I admit, I was down. I felt really lousy about it. And so when I say many may experience sort of a bleak Christmas, I was afraid I was counting myself among the many. On the way into the office the next morning after that announcement was made, I was listening to the radio, and I heard the classic version of the song, "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." I admit, I wanted to bah humbug it at the moment and change the station. But instead, I listened. And even though I knew the words, I think I listened to the song intently for the very first time in my life and recognized how poignant and meaningful those lyrics are for us here in 2020. Lines in the song where it says, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light." Now we read, "From now on, our troubles will be out of sight." But the original 1944 recording says, "Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight. Next year, all our troubles will be miles away." And another line in the song, especially in the original version, says that through the years we will all be together if the fates allow. The author actually intended it to say, if the Lord allows. And then we hear these words about hanging a star on the highest bough, but the original lyrics say, until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So, as we look at Christmas 2020, are you muddling through? Is it wrong to muddle through? It's been difficult with these pandemic restrictions. A lot of anxiety and angst has been created, and a lot of love and expression of appreciation that was issued for our provincial health officer early in the pandemic has suddenly turned the tables, with media outlets saying, we've canceled Christmas, and some even using the word Grinch to describe our PHO. But she didn't steal Christmas. She hasn't canceled Christmas. Christmas is not canceled. We may not be able to gather for our celebrations, whether it's carols and candlelight Christmas Eve or dinners and eating more food in a single day than we should in an entire week or anything like that. But that doesn't mean Christmas is canceled or that Bonnie Henry is some kind of a Grinch. Besides, even the Grinch learned a really great lesson, didn't he? You know the story of the Grinch. The one who didn't like the Whos down in Whoville and all of this jubilation, this jubilating way in which they lived their lives. And he thought, I'll just steal Christmas. And he has that great plan, that great scheme, and he goes in and he steals everything, the presents, the trees, the decorations. He even stole the roast beast. And then we read this in the story. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. Indeed, Christmas is something more than packages, presents, and bows, and boxes, and feasting, and eating. And even, dare I say, it is something much more than us gathering Christmas Eve for carols and candlelight. As meaningful and as delightful as all of those things are, we can still have a merry little Christmas, regardless of restrictions that we face in the current year. Because Christmas doesn't come from snowy landscapes and great decorations. It doesn't depend on turkey or ham or gifts under the tree. It depends on Jesus, whose birth we celebrate. I'm not saying that the other things can't be enjoyed. Indeed, they can. Enjoy them. Look forward to them. I look forward to them especially in the coming year. But I'm also just saying that muddling through this year may actually give us an opportunity we could never have imagined to return to the simple, straightforward truth of the message of God's love that has come for the world to know. Remember, as I quoted last week, it's not look what this world is coming to, but look what has come to this world. As we gathered a few Christmas Eves ago and looked at and thought about and meditated on the meaning of Christmas, we focused in on this idea of looking. We celebrated the fact that in some translations, the word look is translated behold, a rich word in the scriptures, deep with meaning and intent, because it directs us to truly focus, to look and focus. Sometimes we can look at something, like a really nice car passes us by and we say, oh, wow, look, that's a nice car. But to behold the car is to stare at it intently and observe its fine curves, its smooth lines, the color, the tires, the interior, the wheel, and just enjoy it. So to behold something is to really focus in, to fix our eyes on it. Behold, look closely. Sometimes the Bible will say look or see as an alternative word. But as I said, you know, at Christmas, I really love this word, behold, because there's depth to it. And maybe this pandemic and its restrictions gives us an opportunity to behold what is most important in this season, capturing the moment better because of the depth of focus on the story of Christ's birth. We sing that word, behold, in many of the carols. And, O come, all ye faithful, we're beckoned, we're summoned. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. In Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we hear the refrain, late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. And Go Tell It on the Mountain, our thoughts are fixed on a scene in the night Jesus was born. And as we sing, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. And perhaps my favorite song of the season, my favorite carol of all, O Holy Night, in a crescendo moment, says, behold your King. It's the kind of word that if it could grab you by the collar, it would. It would grab you by the collar and say, pay attention, look closely, focus. This is what Christmas is all about. When the angel visited Mary, as recorded in Luke chapter 1, to tell her what was about to happen, the angel announces, behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. Mary's response was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said. In Luke chapter 2, as we read in three parts here during this service, right there in the center, in verse 10, some translations put it this way. We probably know it by heart. We read the words of the angel message, says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Behold. So stop. Stop whatever you're doing this year, this season, and behold. Pay close attention. Take a close look, a deep look, not a passing glance. But behold, for to you a Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. Our attention is fixed to the meaning and the message waited for, anticipated in that first advent, and indeed what we long for in his second advent, his return. Behold, God, who in Christ at Christmas lay in a manger with 10 fingers and 10 toes, clinging to his mother for warmth and food. Behold, the creator of all things, who holds the universe and all of creation in his hands, his tiny little hands, lay there a newborn in a manger. Behold, this is the God who in Jesus, as I said, lay in the manger, crying out like any other baby for his first breath to clear his lungs. Any baby unable to speak. Like any baby looking to others for his help for all he needs. This vulnerable moment, this humble moment, behold it. Behold it anew this year. Behold, it's what the shepherds chose to do when they heard the angel proclamation, as they ran to see if indeed the things they had been told were indeed true. And there in Bethlehem, they find him, the humble King who is the King of Kings, born of a virgin, wrapped in strips of cloth, laying in a manger. He identified with all levels of humanity. Behold that moment. Behold that thought. That idea. All levels of society, from shepherds and servants to kings and royalty. He identifies with them all. No matter what your circumstances, he is reachable. He is accessible. He came to be known in our hearts and our lives today. That's why we say love has come for the world to know. We can know him. And in these moments of his holy birth, I'm sure that any of the noise that was all around him were stilled when the King of Kings was born. And in coming to behold and know the King who was born in those humble circumstances, the noises and worries and stresses of our own lives and the fears that are there, especially here in 2020, can also be stilled and made quiet. Behold, this is Jesus, the one who will save you from your sin. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And we'd better pay attention. I think we stopped paying attention to him long ago when we got caught up in the glitz and the glamour and the food and the packages and the celebrations. Sometimes we forget the very simple aspect of beholding him. Christmas is not canceled because it's not about the events we plan. It's about the reality that love has come. We don't even need to muddle through the darkness because a light has shined. It's time for us to once again behold. Really look, pay attention, see Jesus, not all the glitz and glamour. Not the credit card bill that comes in January. But behold the one for whom Christmas is named. Christ the Lord. The angel said, this is good news of great joy. But it's only good news if we take time to look up from our phones and our tablets and devices of all kinds and our distractions of life, the fears and the worries, and truly behold him. And not only behold him, but believe him and give him our heart. You see, the message of Christmas is that you and I can be saved from our sin, from our predicament, and truly know God. This is the message the angel proclaimed. This is the message our Christmas carols proclaim. And this is what I wish to proclaim to you this day, wherever you are right now. Come and behold him, born your King, born to save you, born to bring you life eternal. Born out of God's love for his creation, behold, look what has come to this world. So let me get back to the beginning of this message and say once again, Merry Christmas. The truth is this very simple yet profound message that was silently given in the midst of so much chaos 2,000 years ago, is the same message that we can receive today. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. To you is born the Savior of the world. This is the greatest miracle on earth, the very essence of a Christmas miracle that cannot be topped by any earthly experience, joy, prohibition, or disappointment. And that's what makes the celebrating the birth of Jesus merry. So, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles. No, check that. You don't have to wait until next year. Right now, even now, all our troubles can be out of sight because of Jesus, whose birth we celebrate and whose return we anticipate. May you know the hope, peace, joy, and love he brought 2,000 years ago and still brings to hearts and lives today. And so let me say once again, Merry Christmas. Let us pray. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, their great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. In the middle of our Christmas celebrations, whatever they may look like this year, help us to make room for you and to behold you. Help us to rush like the shepherds to find this news to be true in our hearts today, and not only for today, but throughout the year to come and all our lives till you return or call us home. In Jesus' name, amen.